Welcome to the Perfectly Saint Show, episode 621. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I would just like to say, definitively, for all of time, Donald Trump is a pussy-ass bitch.
Fair. And that is now in the record, so.
Of the podcast record. It's here.
Earl is here as well.
Okay, I just need to say this for the record. I was going over the stats of last week's show, and they seem to be down. I don't know what's going on here. We need to figure out what's going on with the engagement. My engagement used to be super high on the podcast, and now it's down. So we're going to have everybody working on this, right?
Actually, it's down because you're not very popular anymore.
No, well, okay. Tony, back of your back. You're done. You're done. Out of here.
I'm sorry.
As far as Tony. Jeff is here as well.
Hi.
It's been a week. Seems like a lot has gone on over the last little bit. Jeff got everything he ever wanted from a Nintendo Direct this week.
Imagine that, dude. Oh my god.
The internet has drawn battle lines and fought each other over stupid wizard game, and we played some new games too. Yeah. I don't know how new they are, but we played some.
We
stuff.
Played games. Games were played.
Yeah, some of them not new, but new on a new system. So,
like new.
Yeah. Like new. I don't know how much you guys want to talk about the Harry Potter bullshit. I don't know. I don't really know where to start with that.
It's like you have these people who are all utterly incredibly immature and have them deal with this really complex nuanced issue. It just doesn't work out very well. I think that's like the center point of the entire problem, maybe across all of humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a very fascinating hot button topic in the current day. I am very much on the side of people who want to protest this game because of what it means, but I think it's gotten a bit too intense where people are now being or harassed for even like mentioning wanted to play it.
I don't know if you guys saw today that like there's people going around like spoiling the game, I guess, for people. Like if you mention the game on Twitter, someone will come in your replies and be like, I'm not gonna say the spoiler, but whatever. Like just tell you how it ends or whatever.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the discourse around it has definitely gotten more and more toxic. I guess we should state that like some of us here may play the game, some of us here may buy the game, some of us here will not be buying the game. I don't think any of us are bad people for the choices we make over this game.
I think it's worth noting that most people who buy this game have no idea about any of this. You know, like, I think most people are buying the game because they like Harry Potter and they don't even know, like, you know. Twitter might not seem that way, but Twitter is relatively small to, like, the general population.
No, you're very right in that, as I have, you know, like, we have, you know, parents of, you know, we have kids and, you know, friends that have other kids and they're like, oh, buying my kid like this Harry Potter stuff. And it's like, you don't really know how to talk about it with them, and like, because they just don't know. They're not plugged in. They don't follow celebrity news. They don't really follow the fucking news, period. And like, there's a level of like, what is wrong with you that you don't know what's going on around you? But also, yeah, like there's just a level of ignorance. And I think that, you know, just attacking anybody that's like, I'm going to play this game, like they might not know the full details. And also, I don't know, it gets to a point where it's like, look, if you ask me specifically, don't play this game because I feel that it hurts me, sure, I'm in. Like, but not everybody has it. Not everybody has that association. And yeah, I do think that like when trans people are like, hey, don't play this game, and they go, but what if I play it and I donate money to a trans... No, don't play this game. And then they go, but you really like, my idea is better. Like, don't do that. And then they get pissed off when the they get harassed. There's some things about that stream that was going around yesterday that are a little sketchy. But like, yeah, if people are saying don't do this, or if you are going to do it, just don't tell me about it.
Yeah, and I think that's where that's kind of the because it's on both sides where people, because I mean, okay, calling a spade, from what I've seen very little of it. It looks like it's a very kind of average game. Like, it doesn't seem like it's that special of an RPG. So people going out of their ways to mention that I want to play this, I'm going to stream it, also seem like they just kind of want that attention because,
yeah.
There's just as much money in being like, oh, you know, I was going to do this good thing, but these people say no, bad, evil. And I just wanted to play this stupid wizard game. And it's like, yeah, but it's not even like a great game.
Is it worth it?
I disagree. I think the game looks really good. But
again, maybe from what I've seen of reviews where it's like, there's like three spells and like four enemy types and it's janky, and I heard some people say that it like eats up resources at times.
And like Jeff, like, look, you think it looks cool? That's great. Like, yeah, we'll have fun with it. But
all I'm approaching it as, like, I mean, I understand why people are upset, you know. And if you want to do this boycott, and it seems like, you know, no one cares or whatever, like the game is like a huge success, and you know, you don't get why it seems like, you know, people don't have your back. I understand why people are upset, but like, just for me personally, I'm extremely bored by the culture war shit, and I don't typically boycott things anyways. So I saw a game that looks cool and I want to play it, and like, I know, I guess I'm a bad guy. I mean, you said at the top, like, no one's bad if they play the game. I think you're bad if you're playing the game because, you know,
yes. Like, if you,
fucking
yes.
Trans people, like, yeah,
100%. You know? Like, these people that are coming into comments, like, where trans people are like, hey, like, and some of it's like innocuous. It's just like, hey, I'm asking you not to play the game or at least talk to me about the game. And these people are coming in and going, I'm buying two copies of the game, like, and dropping a slur. It's like, man, like, why do you need to be hateful? Like, just go buy your dumb wizard game and play it. Like, nobody cares. Like, this person's talking to people that, you know, they think care for them, and you're coming in and going, now fuck you, man. Like,
well, that's really it. that's the because people know that it's going to offend folks. So they want to make sure that you know that they're... Because I had the same conversation with friends who were like, they were just being extremely obnoxious about it. And I just, like, legit, are you folks... Like, if you're interested in the game, like, how you spend your money is how you spend your money. We all have our problematic stuff. I point out time and time again. Huge James Bond fan. I accept that franchise has an extremely problematic history. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I'm gonna get offended because you point that out to me. if you know the history of what's going on here, and if you want to support that, that is your prerogative. It is your money. It's not my money. And yes, I mean, it is still one of the biggest brands in all of entertainment, not just gaming. You know, I've seen some people try to justify it in weird ways where it's like, this is going to be the biggest game of the year. And I'm like, I mean, you still got Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty and Zelda. I don't know if it's going to be the biggest game of the year, but done. Like, yes, I understand.
But even if it is, like, what does it matter?
Because, like, that's why they're paying it.
Yeah, they want to be part of, like, yeah. You know.
Because, like, if you're streaming it and...
Oh, yeah, I mean, sure. I get that. Like, I don't get that vibe from... I don't get that understanding from people that are just, like, you know, normal people. Like, well, I'm going to play because it's going to be the biggest game of the year. Like...
No, it's I think
the majority of people buying this are probably huge Harry Potter fans. You know, like it really seems like a lot of people like grew up with that franchise. I completely missed the boat. I remember when we first talked about this game, I joked that like I'm like I've never read Harry Potter. I've never fucking seen the movies, so I don't give a shit. Like I get to miss this one completely, and that was before I had seen any like footage of the game. And I started to see more. I'm like, I love open world RPGs. I love being a spellcaster in them, and I was like, I'm gonna quietly play this one, I guess. I don't know. Like,
it's fine, right? Like,
but I do think the game, its success is gonna be because people really love Harry Potter, and this looks like one of the first video games that's decent from it. You know, like,
I mean, that might be a stretch. Like there's been good Harry Potter games.
Yeah, the Lego Harry Potter games are very, very good.
Yeah, and some of these games I understood were good too, or people enjoyed them.
Yeah. Like it's a big game. It's in a dead period.
Did people get mad at people playing the Lego Harry Potters, or
so that was
those games came out like
before she made
like
her,
she basically went crazy during the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was reading that. So like it's hard because like Harry Potter's huge, like it's up there with Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, Marvel. Like it's a huge property. People spend a lot of money on it. They have a lot of investment in it, and they don't like people telling them that like, hey, this thing you really liked, the person that made it, she still benefits from it, and she actively says that your support supports her shit. Like,
I mean, but I hate that. Like, that is not necessarily true.
But she's the one who mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she has stated that she views, like, any support for it as support for her choices. Like, that's where it is shitty.
Yeah.
But also, like, you not spending $60, $60, $70 on it isn't not going to make her a billionaire. She's still
She's already, even whether this game ever came out or not, she's fucking rich as shit, right? So,
but I do hate where
and people I mean, she are made like, she made money just from the idea of the game existing.
Yeah, yeah, right? Like they licensed that and she made money immediately, right? Like, I see a lot of throwing in like, oh well, like you're not gonna buy Harry Potter, but you're using your phone, like you do, like it's like sure.
Well, that's always the thing. There's a very slippery slope between. Because again, we all have that. Apple and Google are not great companies.
Mm-hmm. We buy stuff from terrible companies all the time. Everybody has to make their own decisions on.
I mean, the thing I always go back to is like, have you seen the political views of the average American farmer? They suck. They are bad. And you buy from that person every day.
This whole fight is like playing out on Twitter, which is owned by a transphobe. Like, you know? Like,
right, right. Yeah.
It's, but there, like, there are, I don't know, I look at it and go, like, you have to draw, like, everyone has to draw their own lines, right?
Dude, if you want to boycott the game and not buy it, more power to you.
Exactly.
But I think when you start like harassing people about it, like,
Well, I think some of that is they also feel that they are, like, because they are constantly harassed for opening up their mouth about any of it. And, like, so I think some of this is, you know, I mean, it's always, there's always extremists on every topic that, you know, the ones that are, you know, most angry are going and they're harassing, you know, harassment. I don't know how much harassment has actually been had, but, you know, they're bullying or whatever, going after these people because they feel attacked. And it's like, there's not justification for it, but
I think it's counterproductive to get people to be on your side. Like,
I was gonna say, I think none of us are a trans man or women, so we also don't necessarily know how it feels or what they've been going through, because again, this is just part of a systematic thing that really has taken off in the last 3 or 4 years. Not that it, but like really, like you see, like in this country, in the UK, where you have laws and stuff that people are trying to pass to,
they are passing them.
And so, yes, it's easy to say, oh, like, you know, play this wizard game, but at the same time, it's hard for us to be like, we don't necessarily know what they go through or have been going through compared to anything else.
But I think we just shelve Harry Potter. Like Jeff, you go play your game in quiet.
Well, I think we should shelve Harry Potter in general, but that's just because the franchise has seen better days. Like somebody pointed out, I forget who pointed out, like, you know, you don't have the same level of scorn when the Fantastic Beasts movie came out last year. And that was because Fantastic Beasts 1 and 2 existed, and they did enough damage to their brand.
They are bad.
Just about everything she's done since the 7th book has been...
not great.
Terrible.
I would actually argue that, like, once you get past the 4th book, the books themselves are all pretty bad.
Like the 5th book. I think the 5th book's good.
No, I don't like the 5th book is when she lost me, because, like, I think the quality of the writing just went down.
She definitely needed an editor.
Yes. It's like, there's a point at which the voices in her head started to drown out everything else.
Yeah. And there's also the, like, if you go back and read them now, you can see, like, a lot of the problematic things that we maybe skimmed over at the time.
You don't want your very own house elf slave.
Right. Like, there's an entire race of
slaves who are happy to be slaves. Not just slaves, but slaves who are, like, against the one that's trying to free them, because we're supposed to be enslaved.
And there's maybe some Jewish tropes tied to the goblins. Her naming conventions are
not
atrocious.
And part of it, you could chalk up to it being it, but yes, it's one of those things where people point it out and it's like, oh yeah, this is very highly problematic, huh?
Yeah, so that's Harry Potter.
Yes.
Jeff, honestly, I do hope you enjoy it, but I don't ever want to talk about Harry Potter again.
That's going to make Game of the Year rough.
It's nice. Honestly really draining. No, I think you have games that are coming later this year
I'm joking.
are going to eclipse whatever that.
And that Zelda that looks is. So cool, doesn't it?
Is a Zelda game coming out this year?
Yeah, it looks so good.
Yeah, it's there's that the Game Boy one that you can play right now.
I almost started Minus Cap.
There's two Game Boy ones.
I had forgotten about Minish Cap. That game is super pretty.
Yeah.
I was going to I mean, I guess we could talk about the Direct now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's so funny looking at the GBA, the Game Boy to Game Boy Advance game. Because, I mean, I guess it's harder when you did not live through it. Because, like, the Game Boy Advance was, what, 11 years after? 12 years after the Game Boy, right?
It was a while.
Yeah, it was like the early aughts, like,
yeah,
right?
Like 2000,
GBA came out 2001, yeah.
It's also going to be very fast. It's a very short-lived system. Because the DS was out in 2004? 2005.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah, the GBA did not have a very 100% long
correct. Yeah.
This is, the GBA, though, has like thousands of games, doesn't it?
Not because, like, even if you get a lot of the games, it has its oh man, okay, this, but like, yeah, I don't know how much you were following Nintendo back then, but like, there was always talk of like the DS being the third pillar, and everybody just being like, oh, that's just their excuse if it fails. But yeah, it's a very short lived system, but like, to your point, it has a ton of bangers.
Its high points are very, and it has a lot of good, very good high points.
The SP2 was so fucking cool, that redesign they did of it with like the flip
because open. you couldn't see the screen on the first one.
Yeah. But I remember having the, it was like an NES themed GBA SP. Oh my god, I think it was so fucking awesome. Wish I still had it.
How many games?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It's like 10 games, I think. I think it's like 4.
No, I'm trying to figure out
the overall library.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a lot, dude.
Oh, I probably is. I'm sure it's
1,538 Game Boy Advance games.
That's a pretty big library. Yep.
Yeah, and then you also remember that it, because remember, like, the original DS for a lot of its lifetime actually also had a Game Boy Advance because it was so didn't want to piss people off. So like, there were games that would be DS games that would be Game Boy games that you would put in the slot.
Yeah, they were still releasing GBA games like well after the DS came out. So
I think it's a cool addition what they did, though. I was not expecting it. I know, like, I think Game Boy had been rumored for a while, right? And they're when they were showing it yesterday, I was like, that's cool, man, but it'd be nice to have GBA games, you know?
And they dropped it.
Like, right after that, they're like, and if you have, you know, the whatever expansion
pack,
yeah, you get the GBA games. And I'm like, I will play those. Like, some GBA games are fucking fantastic, dude. Like, Finish Cap or whatever. I don't think I've played that since it came out.
So I don't have the list in order, but Kotaku does have a list up here. So let's go by their order. Metroid Prime Remastered was dropped. Yeah. I don't know. Was the trilogy rumored years ago, it's been rumored.
Yeah,
the trilogy was originally rumored, and then I think Emily or somebody came on saying that, oh, they're not doing the trilogy anymore. They figured it made more sense to just focus on an actual remaster of the first game, and that's been rumored for years now.
What I was waiting for last year, or whenever I got upset about it, was just the first one. Like, that became the more concrete rumor or whatever as time went on. It was just going to be the first one, which is honestly fine by me, because I don't think 2 or 3 are nearly as good.
They're still great games.
I don't know. They're good for sure, but like, I don't know, there's something about that first one.
No, the first one is a very it's a special beast, and I'm very curious to see how it holds up. Not that necessarily that it's bad, but like, one of the big selling points of this one is that it finally has dual analogs.
Yeah.
Because a big part of that was, what did Nintendo call it at the time? A first-person adventure game?
Yeah.
Because it didn't have traditional first-person shooter controls. So I'm curious how much easier or harder that makes it.
It feels pretty good. You can also play, you can play with the original controls. You can also play with like the pointer controls.
Like so, the what they did for the trilogy on Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've only tried the dual analog stick controls and it works surprisingly well. Like it feels totally fine.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Like what I have not played it, but what I've seen of the trailers and stuff, like very crisp visuals on it. Everything looks very, very nice. Is it just a matter of like them fixing up the visuals, like outside of the controls, but like is it, or did they do more to it than just kind of like put a new coat of paint on it and give you new controls?
I mean, it runs super smooth too. Like the, you remember how like the, there'd be waiting for rooms to load, like you'd shoot a door and you'd wait.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. I don't know if the Wii versions were already like that, but, and then there's also like, I don't remember. I'm pretty sure this is new because like pretty much anytime I find a new upgrade or whatever, it says like, you know, you've unlocked new extras that you can check out in the extras menu. Like, so I think there's more. I don't think this is just like a straight port. There's definitely been, you know.
Yeah, like I thought.
I don't recall unlocking shit every time I did anything. Like,
I thought it looked a little bit more like, and that's why I was like, they're calling it a remaster, but it looks
kind of like, or like it looks good, man. Like
the favorite thing I heard is like, somebody's like, wait, how did Nintendo charge, $60 for Skyward Sword, but $40 for this, which looks like it actually has work done to it.
Hey, I'm shocked all around.
I think it's because people would buy Skyward Sword at $60. They wouldn't buy this as much at $60.
Yeah,
I know I would, but I don't know.
Historically, Metroid has been a lesser franchise for them, so
I just makes sense. I'm completely blown away that it finally happened, that it actually, like, there was some effort put into it, and then for them to be like, oh yeah, you can download it later today, I was like texting Chris like, dude, what the fuck is going on here? Like, Nintendo doesn't like simply cool things like this.
We didn't get to it because this is out of order, but it started off with Pikmin 4.
Yeah, which I said the day before, oh, we won't see that. Definitely no Metroid. Like, everything I said that like we would not get, like, we just randomly got yesterday. That was fucking, I don't know, dude. That's how you do a direct. Like, I get you can't do that every time because you don't have things to show always. But, man, like, that kind of, like,
it was fun. It was,
it blew everyone away, I felt like.
Fun show. Well, like,
not everyone, but.
Well, there's always, I saw people complaining about the Metroid thing, like, oh, you're going to give us this and not Metroid Prime 4? It's like, dude, you know that they can, like, do both things, right? Like,
right.
Like, this, people just want to pitch no matter what. Like,
well, my favorite was somebody complaining that, like, I think it's time Nintendo retires the direct, because it was so, like, boring. Because it's like, yeah, we need a new way to give announcements. I'm like, Nintendo just kind of gave a lot of people, like, one, they probably have the most stacked first 6 months of any of the three publishers, console makers this year.
Yeah.
Because, like, I took it at Metroid, and I'm like, this still undercuts the fact that Kirby's out in 2 weeks. And
done.
They have a very strong February. I mean,
they
not,
just had
not
Fire
all their
Emblem.
Stuff, but...
They just had Fire Emblem. They have, I mean, not just them, the Rhythm Kingdom Hearts or whatever is out next week.
Yeah. And then Octopath 2 is at the end of the month.
Like,
yeah.
Dude, I'm sorry. If you come away bitching from this direct, like, you're just an unpleasant person. I think, like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what do you want? Like,
and then I completely forgot it. Hopefully I remember to get it. That game, Yank, like that, the game with the dough, like that
black. Oh, like black and white.
Yeah, that's really cute, and that's out next week as well. Yeah, and then I was just like, oh yeah, here's Metroid Prime, here's 10 Game Boy games, here's 6 Game Boy Advance games for something that you already subscribed to, probably. Have at it.
Question on that. The Game Boy games are part of Nintendo Online, so everybody kind of has access to that. Are the Game Boy Advance games part of the extra piece? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
They're adding value to that expansion. I'm happy I have it still. Dude, to me, it's worth it just to get the Mario Kart tracks. Like,
right.
That's like, a $25 expansion right there, and you get it with, I mean, I guess if you cancel your subscription, you don't have it anymore.
And they're releasing, what, four tracks, like, every you know, 4 months or so?
It'll be, like, two cups, I think, every couple
months. Oh, so eight tracks, then.
So
that's a very good deal. Like,
and there's new tracks. The last one had a new Christmas-themed track. So it's not just remakes of old tracks.
It's not just Yoshi's Island, which is new, I guess. And it's added a new character, which, honestly speaking, I just assumed Birdo was in the game this entire time.
Yeah, at this point,
I didn't realize he was there, right? Yeah, like, I didn't realize.
I was just like, they're like, Birdo's coming. I'm like, is Birdo not in the game? And it comes in different colors. So, yeah, good for them. But I was just like, I thought Birdo was in the game.
Mario Kart 8 really is the forever game.
Okay, since we're on DLC, just real quick, I have to complain about this because I am so baffled by this decision. I like Splatoon 3, one of my top three games of last year. And Nintendo's like, we're going to do DLC for it. And like, the first DLC is like, you can have the old hub back. And I'm just waiting for like, and I'm like, wait, that's your paid DLC, is you can just get a hub from the first two games back.
Oh, Splatoon?
Yeah. I was just like, baffled. I'm like, wait, this is your big... Like, they had something else which is probably more exciting, but I'm like, wait, this is your big thing that I get a hub back that I don't even care what it looks
like. Right? Like, the hub is just like... It's just a hub. You walk up to things like...
It's an interactive menu.
Yeah. But then they like teased a second part of the expansion.
Yes, and that
didn't say anything about it.
But I assume that's more akin to...
It's something, yeah.
Yeah, that's more akin to like, the Octo expansion that they did with Part 2, which is like more single-player stuff, which is cool. But I was still like, that is much later on. They're like, okay, like Wave 1 comes out next week or whatever, and I'm just like, it's a hub. Like, you are literally doing this for a hub. I do not understand this. What am I missing? And I looked around today just to see if there was anything on it that I was missing, and it's like, no. This is what it is. So,
any interest in Advance Wars 1 and 2?
Yes,
because that is finally coming. It was supposed to be last year.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
No. That was supposed to be like last April. It was like that was last April.
It's the Ukraine.
My birthday game, and then they got so like apparently it's just been printed and sitting in their offices for the past year. I'm surprised they're even giving it time to wait and not just being like, the war is kind of quiet, it's not in the news, let's just push it out now.
The funny part is, like, they're like regrouping right now for another effort in the war, so the war is going to be back.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm surprised they didn't push it out right now.
Yeah,
that would have been like, hey, like, next week, this is also out. Like, Samba de Amigos coming back.
Yeah. I've never been a fan, but people are.
I don't know.
There's people out there.
So that was the Dreamcast game with the maracas, right?
Like, yeah.
And I think a Wii game too. They keep trying to bring
it back. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's a very niche game, but yes, they keep on trying to bring it back. It's also weird, like you said, the Wii. Like, I feel like. I'm not wrong. I feel like the motion controls of the Switch goes so much more unnoticed that I was like, oh yeah, it does have motion controls, doesn't it? When they were showing them dancing.
Whatever. Yeah, I don't think what they showed it with 1-2 Switch, but then it's like, they don't really highlight that
you guys don't,
motion controls with it.
You guys don't remember your big game from last year, Wii Sports, that everyone was gonna get, and then I was the only fucking fool that bought that thing.
I mean, to be fair, that sells really well.
But out of us, he was the only one that got it.
I thought we were gonna be bowling online and shit.
I might still get it.
No one's stopping you from bowling online, Jeff.
Did they ever release golf?
Yourself.
Yeah, it was in November.
Okay.
In November? Jesus.
But that's when they released Golf, right?
I think you might be right. It was like either end of last year or... Yeah, I think you might be right on November. The remake of Kirby.
And Return to Dreamland. Yeah.
That looks cute.
Is that... What is it remaking? Is that a Wii game or
It's a Wii game.
Oh, okay. I think I played it then. I'm out on that one.
Yeah, it's not the like, what was it? What's the yarn game?
Yeah,
Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Yeah, that one was neat, but it's not that one. It's like a more traditional Kirby game.
We already got like a pretty amazing Kirby game, I thought, last year, which I'll happily play that again over.
And you also get the original Kirby game.
True.
Which I always forget does not have his copy ability, so it's like playing Sonic without the spin dash.
Weird. What's this Disney Illusion Island?
That actually looks really good.
It looks like Cuphead, kind of.
I'm way into it.
But I was like, going to say, if anything, it reminded me of Rayman Legends and Origins.
Yes, okay. Yes. Dude. Four players. Unfortunately, not online, but I'm hoping I could talk Melissa into playing through it with me because it looks awesome.
It looks like it's going to be kind to you. I guess it's the best way I could put it with the combat.
It's not going to be a brutal game. It's just kind of like fun.
Yeah.
I'm into that. That is end of July.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Again, hopefully I could talk her into playing with me and we don't kill each other while we're playing it.
As mentioned, Jeff's Pikmin 4 was shown. That
Ice looked Pikmin. Good for you. Ice Pikmin.
Yes.
Ice Pikmin. There's a dog.
The dog is a bigger announcement here.
So what is the dog?
It's just like, it seems like it's a means of transportation.
But also kind of like just in your army as well. Like, I think it's almost like he's like a giant Pikmin you have with you that you can ride around. Like,
yeah,
I think you could make him fight. I have to watch the trailer again, but he does more like you could throw Pikmin on him too. You could ride around on him. I don't know. It's a cute dog. It's awesome.
This dog is super cute. The game looks very, very nice.
I can't believe that is actually coming out this year.
I didn't think it would be a big holiday title, but like, yeah, it's like soon.
Well, that's because Mario's coming out this holiday.
It has to, like, something has to come out because
Zelda's May.
For now, it is.
Oh, I feel like I feel like Nintendo sits on some of their games because like Zelda, not only is it. What was I gonna say? Not only is it like showing off now, but it's on the eShop. They have a file tolerance and everything, which tells me like they kind of finished the game.
That's gonna be their first $70 game.
Yes,
but there's a workaround for that. Earl mentioned the vouchers last week. It's evidently a voucher game, so.
Yes, so if you're smart, if you're digital, no, granted, if you're physical as well, you can usually find physical, what am I trying to say? You can usually find a way to get a physical game on a discount. But like, yes, because it's a voucher game, what a lot of people are doing is looking at, looking at like Costco's or something that sells like eShop like 10% off, then you get that with the voucher. And you're looking at like getting the game down to $90 for two games, that brings Zelda down to like $45 a pop.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Which again, I wonder if that was part of the reason they reintroduced the vouchers was to make it an easier pill to swallow.
What'd you guys think of the Zelda trailer? That was the one that I kind of like mostly missed.
It looks awesome, dude. Like, looks like dark, super dark and evil, at least for the first half of it. There's fucking, he's like riding around and like these weird vehicles, like both in land and the sky. I just would have liked more of a hint about the things that we
did. Want, they show any weapons?
Yeah, yeah. They tweeted out today a fucking master sword that looked broken and was like, hey, like
repair it.
Like, are you guys like doubling down on this shit? Because like, that was the one weapon in the first game that would not break. It would temporarily lose its power.
It would break
for like a few minutes or whatever, and then
it just like auto fix itself, right? Like it wasn't, it breaks and it's gone. It was
It was just it had a cooldown, but it's like, dude, I hope they got rid of that. I didn't notice in the trailer, like, would like to see, hey, there's gonna be real fucking temples, because those temples in Breath of the Wild kind of weak, dude, you know.
Yeah, and there was only what, 3 or 4 of them total, and that they were like the giant things. So
yeah, it was like, yeah, 4 temples, but they were like pretty small. Yeah, there was like one
real temples.
It was basically like one big puzzle, you know, that would be a couple rooms big, and it's just
slightly bigger than the shrines.
Yeah, like that wasn't, I mean, I love that game a lot, but that, you know, if you're doing a sequel of it, there's an easy thing right there. Well, I don't know how easy it is, but that's something to improve. Bring back real temples. Like, but yeah, I'm fucking excited for that game. It looks so good.
Let's see what else here. Is it Neutron game? Not really sure what that is, though.
No.
No, because it's like, it's not even, what is it? It was like a, it's like a point and click or like a narrative based game.
Yeah, just like not what you would picture for Tron.
Yeah, but, so I'm not really sure what that is. Tron, you like, you want to ride the bike.
Yeah, yeah.
Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. People seem to be very happy about that. I don't know what that is really, though. So. Dead Cells is getting Castlevania DLC. I think we talked about that previously, though. That seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was working when the direct was going on, so I was like kind of like half paying attention to it, and I heard that Castlevania music and looked over immediately. Like, all right, I'm in on that. You said Splatoon 3 DLC. There's also Xenoblade DLC.
Yes.
Expansion Pass 3. Let's see what else here. Fire Emblem DLC. They showed Octopath Traveler 2. Looks like more Octopath.
It looks awesome, though. Like, yeah, you see the one shot of like they're like fighting on a ship, and there's like a giant shark above the ship fighting.
Yes, that shark was. I was like, cool. I want that.
I think I'm in on that game. I'm so mad at myself for never finishing the first one, even though I have it downloaded on Game Pass and I own the Switch version.
It is. Jeff, I've been playing it for years now.
Oh, really? Wow.
Too much content. Like,
It is like it. And the way it works, right? Like, so you get all your 8 characters. Then to like get to the next level, like, do level 2 or whatever, it's like you have to be level 27, so there's just so much grinding in it. It's a great traditional RPG, but it is, I think maybe 8 characters might be a little much. But
are you getting part 2 then?
I originally had a pre-order, then I'm like, I'm still not done one, like, and I'm consistently playing it. So
it says
Chris is waiting for the Uno pass.
It says Octopath Traveler main story is like 60 hours. So you could probably, you know, double that if you're kind of not. I mean, you said you have to like kind of.
Yeah, it's just a lot of grind. It's not that it's long. Like 60 hours is fine for an RPG. It's just that a lot of it is that grinding. Like, and like the fun parts are the chapters.
Yeah,
but they're such a small piece. They're like 40 minutes long, and then it's like hours of grinding in between. So it's
I hear you, but like I just
it's love, so pretty.
I love the graphics and I love the music in that game.
Yeah, it's I 100% with you. I had it pre-ordered on Switch and was like, I'm gonna wait, because if I wait a little bit, it'll be like, it's a Square game, not a Nintendo game, so they will sell it. They'll put it on sale, so I can get it at some point later down the line when I'm more ready to play it cheaper.
Yeah.
We love Katamari Reroll plus Royal Reverie. I don't know much about Katamari, so is that two games?
And I think it's just one. Wait, what did you say?
We love Katamari Reroll plus Royal Reverie.
I don't know what the Royal Reverie. I don't know what that is. But I don't know. I like those games. Those games go on sale real deep discount all the time on the Switch and elsewhere. So I will probably get it at some point when it's like $5-$10. Oh man, Octopath is soon too. Fucking
hey, stuff is super 27th,
28th, something like that.
I mean,
I'm gonna be too busy still.
It's super funny because we kind of went from like Microsoft being like, we're just gonna stealth drop one of the Game of the Year contenders. Nintendo being like, we're gonna stealth drop one of the greatest games of all time in a remastered form. To being like, oh yeah, this the first 3 months of this year was super busy.
Yeah, it was like the first couple weeks were like, man, it's slow, and then all of a sudden it's like,
it's pretty there's strong
too many start, games man. To play.
Yeah, like I'm all like, I got a big RPG that will remain unnamed that's coming, like, and I'm like in the middle of juggling at least two games at the moment. On top of that, and I want to play Zelda Minish Cap. Ugh. It's a good problem. I like it.
Yeah, I certainly can't complain.
Plus, you need to play Elden Ring like 4 more times. How are you going to fit all this stuff in?
That'll be for the in-between times.
Jeff just leaves it installed in case I jump on and actually play.
That'll never not be installed on my Xbox. Maybe uninstall when R2 comes out. But probably not. It's not a big file.
I don't know much about Etrian Odyssey other than it's a traditional.
It looks ancient.
Yeah, it's hey, a tradi- but that's an $80 collection.
That's fucking nuts.
I was gonna say it's more like Dragon Quest. It's like first person, I think.
Parts of it are, yes.
It's also weird because I think the big gimmick is like create the map as you go.
I don't think they give you the map, so you're kind of like. You have to kind of remember.
You're drawing it in as you.
Yeah. But that's an $80 collection. So
I will not be playing that game.
Sea of Stars. That is the next game from the people who made The Messenger. It is kind of like a Chrono Trigger type RPG. Looks great. There's a demo up right now.
Yes,
that was the other thing. Demos, man. Dropped demos yesterday.
I went through it because I wanted to see a Stars, and I just finished playing that a little bit ago. Because I'm not really interested, but like, it's a really pretty game. And I won't throw anybody under the bus. But it is also nice to kind of see people take sprite work seriously. Mm-hmm. For the longest time. It was just like, oh, it's a cheap way to kind of do something. Where it's like, no, you can do it and still have it look nice.
Yeah, there are some people making some really good-looking sprite-based games right now. This is one of them.
Yes, this is. And I guess real quick, I mean, it's a turn-based RPG. It has some elements of... It has some elements of like the Mario RPG series, where there are some like time-based like buffs to attacks and defense if you can do it. But yeah, I really think it's a cute game right now. The fright work and the graphics are nice, but really what popped for me was like the portrait arts they do for the characters and like when they're talking or like, when, you know, because some you had to talk in Hensushi, so you see who's talking. And I thought it's really nice art. It's very vibrant. I like how you, there's a big traversal element to it. Like it's not a Mario game. It's more like 3D Zelda games before Skyward Sword and Breath of the Wild, where like you had like the situational jumps or like ways to climb over the edge, but it's not like you had to stand and move for it, and you could do stuff like that. And then it has like some I hate being like it does this like this game, but it's also like Golden Sun, where like you have some overworld abilities which helps with like puzzle solving and dealing with enemies, because you can attack enemies on the main page, well, not the main, on the stage before you go into a battle, and the battles aren't random, so you do see the enemies on the screen and you can engage with them. And then it doesn't transition into a battle screen, it just kind of transitions into a field where it's like you're still fighting on the same thing you were fighting on before, but like there's now a setup where like, you know, you're on one side, the enemy's on the other side. But yeah, it's a really again, I think the demo is about an hour long. You get a beginning section and you get a dungeon. And the dungeon's really nice. You go through and you have a bunch of different little challenges. Some of them are like enemy rooms. Some of them are like, you know, move these things to navigate this space to get to this thing. But yeah, I, depending on when it comes out, it's June as well, right?
No, it is August 29th. I know that because it's the day before my birthday and I saw it today. I was like, oh, early birthday present for me.
Yes, it looks really nice. So depending on how far I am, because heaven knows I'm not behind on games already, I might check it out. But yeah, the demo's on the eShop. It's not Switch exclusive, but it's console first on Switch?
I believe so.
Yeah, I know.
Or might also be coming to PS4 and PS5, but
yeah, I don't. It's hard to. I mean, I will give this much credit. For the most part, they are not big on like console exclusive or world premieres. But I do know they mentioned like one or two games. I think Rain Code or something like that is console first on. No, and then that game from Don't Nod, Harmonic. I think they said it's console exclusive first on the Switch. But other than that, I mean, it also helps that most of the games are like first party or stuff they port. So,
Jeff mentioned, and I think Earl also mentioned that Yoshi's Island coming to Mario Kart 8, Birdo, Bay and Kados. I probably pronounced that incorrectly. 1 and 2 HD remasters coming.
It's not the GameCube RPGs I was asking for, but I will take them. I did enjoy the first one. Back in the GameCube had like 4 RPGs. It's not that I played most of them. But yeah, it's probably going to be extremely dated now because it is a card-based combat system, which I think has, there's stuff to do cards now. I mean, Midnight Sun, for example.
Yeah.
But this one was very, like you could build a deck, but you didn't. I mean, I guess it's like Marvel Snap in that you build a deck, but then like the deck is randomized when you're actually playing it, so you don't know what you're going to get.
At the time, though, when they came out, was that like a new idea, like that type of game, or no?
I don't know if it was like It's not a super common. It's still not a super common thing to have a card based system, but I don't know if it was new at the time. I honestly don't even remember why I picked it up, but yeah, it was goofy fun.
Remember that was the big draw of it. Like I don't know anything about the game because I didn't play it, but like the card system was like, that was why people were kind of into it.
Yes,
that also, and because there was no other RPGs on the, yeah, there was like that Tales of Symphonia and Skies of Arcadia, right? Like,
yeah,
please bring me that one.
I just say 2 out of 3 Skies of them would be on the Switch.
Oh, right, Tales of Symphonia is out soon, right?
Yeah,
this month too, I think.
That one I did play on the GameCube when it came out. That's a long game.
I was gonna say, granted, that was also kind of imported, you know, all over the place. Because I think it was also on the PS4. And I know there's a sequel that nobody ever talks about on the Wii. So yes.
Yeah, so that was we talked about the Game Boy Advance stuff. So.
Oh, well, I'm not gonna let you go because I have friends who would be so upset with me if I didn't mention.
Sure.
The return of a good friend of theirs, Mr. Dayton.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why that's not on this list here, but yes. Oh no, here it is. It says is New World of Steam, but it's Professor Layton and the New World of Steam. New Professor Layton.
Yeah.
Yeah,
baby. Is it the I saw Layton's back and kind of like turned away.
It's Diablo 5, it's the developers of the original. Yeah.
Is it still like that system where it's like, you know, different puzzles to go through and
they already just showed him.
Yeah, okay.
That was it. It was like they were just like they had a close up and that's like he tipped his hat. And that was the teaser. So I don't even think it had a 2020 date or anything like that. So
here's it's the Kotaku write up on it. It's more Professor Layton. Do you need to know more? No? Good. Because the trailer contains absolutely nothing useful whatsoever.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, there's already people I know who think probably really one of their most anticipated games of the year. So.
Yeah, I like the Layton games. They're cool.
Yeah, I think they're fun. I'm sure now people are going to start asking for Ace Attorney. Or what is the... Not Ace Attorney. There's a... What's the sequel series to Ace Attorney?
I don't know.
But yes. Because yes, I mean, those are... I'm surprised it took this long into the Switch's lifespan. And I'm sure it's going to be on another system. For those games to kind of like make a comeback. Because I feel like... Nothing else. I feel like I'm surprised there's no. I mean, again, I could be wrong. I'm surprised there's no Layton collection on the Switch. That seems like a perfect like eShop collection. And even if with touchscreen, you can just have some of it be handheld only.
Yeah. So that's the direct. It was. I thought it was very, very good. It's an excellent showcase. So
yeah,
very happy.
I thought it turned out good. I thought the first like 20 minutes or so were kind of eh. It was like Pikmin and a bunch of games I didn't really care about or like DLC. Because I think the first half was like, here's the Platoon DLC, here's the Xenoblade DLC, here's the Fire Emblem DLC.
Here's Fashion Designer or whatever.
Yep, that's the game. But then they started hitting.
It's like...
It got to a point where it's like, Game Boy Advance. Oh, here's Metroid Prime. It's out today. Here's Zelda. I know you folks have been asking for this. Here's Banjo Kaitos 1 and 2. It's like, yeah, that like the last 20 minutes were just like, and it's funny because like Nintendo says like roughly 40 minutes. And I think part of what we did not mention, and this doesn't have anything to do with Nintendo Direct, but I think part of the environment around it, was like Twitter was busted as hell during the Direct.
As soon as it started.
Yeah. So you don't get that. Because a lot of times it is that social element of everybody like, oh my gosh, it's this. Or somebody noticing before everybody else and like freaking out. So you didn't get that aspect of it. But there were.
I did because Jeff was sending me texts.
I had to text Chris to be like, is this happening? Like, what is going on here? Did I die?
Yes, it was funny because like you and I had another friend who like I usually message on Twitter and I'm like, Yuri, they start off with Pikmin 4, which is like a game. Every time we speak, it comes up like Pikmin. And he called Miyamoto because Miyamoto had said Pikmin 4 has been done since like 2014 or something like that. And then it was like, oh man, he's gonna be so pissed off he can't talk about this. And then they killed Layton, which is another game. You know, I'm just like, oh man, like it sucks that you can't. But you got the announcement you want. It's just like you don't have that oh my gosh, freak out moment that you would usually get on Twitter with people getting that. I can't imagine actually seeing that I have reactions to Metroid Prime dropping today. And because a lot of people started doing that workaround where it's like you schedule your tweet a minute in advance. Then it would send, it was a very stupid hour on Twitter, which is saying a lot once that guy took over. But yes.
Always one-upping themselves on there.
It is impressive because, I mean, I think it's come out today or something that part of, I think I mentioned this to you. I forgot who I mentioned this to. But it does seem like, he was trying to get rid of the APIs for some other stuff. Not really. Twitter also needs to call back to the APIs for people. I don't know what APIs stand for, but I do know what it is. And I'm like,
application programming interface.
Okay. And I'm
you're welcome, Earl.
Thank you. I'm sure I was like, I'm sure that's what he requested. Did not know. There's no testing ground apparently. So they just did it. And not really. I was like, oh no, we actually need these servers up for people to call back to, and that is really what came out today about what happened. And what happens when you fire most of your teams is there's nobody who would be like, no, this is a dumb idea, we can't do it right now, or like how to fix it so it's not down for an hour.
You know that there's like the one guy that knows, right? He's just like, all right, Elon wants that. Like, you know that's going to break everything, right?
You can't say anything to him because that's why you go get ahead. Fired.
Go on, break. Go ahead, press the button. I told you that was going to happen.
Can't question the man's genius or his popularity. So,
I guess, yeah. All right, well. Yeah, Twitter is back. Currently, we'll see. It'll probably break during the Super Bowl.
Well, that's why he said he doesn't want any changes to be made anymore until after the Super Bowl. So yeah.
All right. Well, we also played some games besides just watching trailers.
I was gonna say there's also one other piece of news this week, or at least one major piece of news.
Okay.
Well, it's the oh, crap, I forget the name of it. So the European trade union that kind of came back and were like...
Is it the CMA?
Yes, they're like, we're not necessarily going to reject the Microsoft and Activision proposal, but we're going to have remedies. And some of the remedies is like Microsoft selling the Call of Duty IP. I forget what other ones there were. I know... They were just being like, can we not just say we're gonna like not have an excuse for like 10 years? And like, no, because that doesn't work for us. But that's what they're gonna pitch. But like, yeah, they offered them several remedies that they were like, okay, if you can do this or, you know, get this in motion before the sale, we can kind of greenlight it. And I mean, I think we've all known what this is about for a while, but like the thing that it was infuriating to me, I don't necessarily think that they're wrong in that regard, but like I saw people on Twitter, and not nobody I followed, it, you know, like trending tweets and stuff, people like, oh great, now Sony can buy Call of Duty, or I hope like if they backed it. I mean, so this isn't about Microsoft owning Activision
100%.
This is about Sony not owning Activision. And I'm like, you can at least pretend that you care about, like, because I am opposed to the these merges. I mean, I've been opposed to most merges because it does create less competition and it does kind of stagnate. But people are like, no, it's just like, I want my company to own all these games. Because people are like, yes, people are really like, oh, I hope Sony buys them. Sony knows what to do with excuses. I'm like, this isn't about exclusivity. This isn't about Call of Duty. This is about you cheerleading your company. And I'm like, I wish people were able to see beyond their stupid fandoms and realize, like, yes, there are legit reasons why I don't think this is good for the industry. Call of Duty not being exclusive to Sony is not one of them.
The whole time it's been like, why are you complaining? Like,
literally, why are you complaining? They're giving you everything you want. And it really comes down to because Sony's not getting it. So we hate Microsoft. Absolutely. Xbox sucks. You're all Xbox if you like Xbox. Not to say that the Xbox fans are any better. They are terrible too, but
I think they are. It's just funny seeing how blatantly it was done. So and I forget, was this before or after last week's show that no, it was before that we found out Knockout City was being mothballed. Yeah. I feel like there was another game this week, but there's been so many of them, I actually can't keep track, which I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. So,
I mean, I would say bad, but
oh, it's a terrible thing. It's just really funny because like, what is it? I think Jim Sterling. I've used this subscription before, and I always get flack for it. Is that gaming, I feel like, is very much in the same boat, or it's going in the same boat as comic books, where it's a industry that still exists, an industry that still makes money. It's an industry that's, I mean, some of the biggest properties in the world right now are comic books, but the actual comic books themselves cater to a very minuscule audience across the world, because over time, like, it was just like we pruned and pruned and pruned until the only things that were left were the stuff that were guaranteed to sell. And then you don't bring in a new audience with that, and you screw up a lot of the older people who might have like these odd and obscure games. Because I think it was like Jim Stone and some other YouTubers being like, I forget, oh, it might have been somebody who wrote an article saying that this isn't healthy and this isn't sustainable. And people, of course, cross-correct. It's like, oh, just because a few games failed, that doesn't mean it's not sustainable. You can have it's like, yes, you can have a bunch of successful games. Like, you know, God of War just did well. Pokemon did well. This game's going to do well. But we just saw Crystal Protocol underperformed according to
the publisher. Yeah, when games sell 10, 11 million copies, like, that's excessive. Like, not every game's going to sell that.
Yes, and then there's just going to be fewer and fewer games. Like, we've gone through this, we've gone through this, like, 3 or 4 times in the past 15 years. First, it was, like, the time where everybody needed to include, like, some form of online multiplayer because Call of Duty was so popular. And then you'd get these games with these really weak multiplayer or this really crappy single player. And a lot of them did not survive because the servers would be shut off in no time because these games weren't doing anything with that multiplayer other than having it. Then we had like the, you know, like season passes and online passes, and everybody needs to do that. And again, you get those games that do it, but I mean, there's a ton of games where it's like, okay, we're gonna have like this 1 year roadmap, and then you get 2 months in and it's like, nobody bought the game, so we're gonna like give you some costumes and cosmetics and hope you forget about us in like 6 months. And now you kind of see the same thing with a lot of games wanting to be live service games and just not being sustainable because, I mean, say what you will about Fortnite, but its model wasn't necessarily going to sell you a bunch of stuff. It worked out that it's a popular game that you can then sell a bunch of stuff in. And it was designed that, like, the cosmetics don't really have a gameplay element. It's just like, people want the skins because they paid a game, not because they want the skins.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure more games are going to die this year, so.
No.
I'm sure there's plenty more. We did play some stuff.
Did we, though?
I did. Jeff played some stuff. Jeff finished Dead Space.
Yeah.
So you went from one sci-fi horror to one sci-fi adventure.
Yeah. Well, I'd call Metroid horror a little bit. Like, we got some space horror back, baby. The 2000s are back. I did beat Dead Space. I'm assuming you talked about it a little bit last week.
A little bit.
How are you doing on the Dead Space?
I like it. I played through it last summer-ish. So it's all very fresh in my head.
I was like surprised how like I would be talking to you about something like, oh, are you at this part? I'm like, dude, do you have this committed to memory? It's an old game. Like,
yeah, I just played it last year, so I kind of remember like exactly where I had pain points at. It seemed like you were having the pain points are similar.
Near the end, it becomes, you know, very shootery. Lock you into a room and throw, like, you know, every enemy type at you at once, which could be pretty chaotic. You know, they all, you know, do different things. Some of them explode. Some explode and release a bunch of little enemies that will crawl all over you, which could be a pain in the ass. It's like, if you don't have a flamethrower ready, it's like, well, I guess I'm kind of fucked. I'm using all my ammo on this bullshit. But they
seem to move quicker too. Like I was telling Tony that last week, they just seem everything seems a little more aggressive than what it was in that first one. Like they're the same enemies, and it's, you know, similar combat encounters, but everything seems a little bit faster.
Yeah, maybe. Again, it's so hard. That's the thing for me, is like it's so hard for me to say what was new or not, or different in this, because it's been, I don't think I've played Dead Space 1 since 2008. Like, I've liked the game very much, but had not revisited. But this game felt like a new game to me. Like, you erased my memory of Dead Space 1, and just, this came out this year. Fucking looks brand new. The gameplay itself, I think, holds up really well. It is weird though, going from that to Metroid, because in Dead Space, you like never have to really think about what you're doing because you have that like the blue line.
Yep. You just press it in, and it's always going to bring you to your main objective.
It's super convenient, but like you like don't have to think at all. And then like in Metroid, they don't, most of the time the game does not tell you anything about what you should be doing or where you should go, and you have to just be studying maps, looking for rooms, like, oh, all right, and that part of the map, did I go through that room yet? Like, you know, it's kind of Resident Evil like in that way, you know. Yeah. And Dead Space just like really did away with a lot of like, I use the blue line all the time because it's there, and so then I'm never thinking about you know what I'm doing, but there's
I use it because like I'll get turned around, especially in like a combat encounter or something. Like it's like where am I? Which way do I move?
Especially there's a lot of sequences in the game and that are zero gravity, so you're just like, I don't know which way is up or down or fucking where I came into this. But yeah, that game is really great. I had a blast with it. I started New Game Plus and put it on hard and played for about an hour before I said, I want to play Dead Space 2. So I started Dead Space 2. And, Dead Space 2, like, you could tell going from this to that, like, Dead Space 2 is older.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that game still looks great for a fucking 360 game. Like, holy shit, dude.
I mean, and the original Dead Space as well. Like, there's a really good style. They did some neat tricks in making things look good, and hiding things that would, you know, hiding the deficiencies of it. Like, I think Isaac looks really good. The enemies look really good. The ship, it's like a space station in two, right? Like, it's like really well designed. There's a neat art style to it.
Yeah, part two. I would say that's kind of an improvement in that, like, it doesn't all look kind of the same. Like, there's areas that look like a mall and stuff like that.
Yeah, I love twos. Like, the whole, like, scenario design is great.
Another neat thing about two is if you like the little blue line, there's, like, four different lines in that. Like, you could switch it. I want to see where the closest save station is. You could switch to that. Like, I totally forgot about that. I'm like, ah, if you're going to do this, that's pretty neat. Show me where the nearest store is or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But super enjoying part two. which sucks because now I have a million games to play. Within a day, got like halfway through. Like, I'm on chapter 8 or something of part 2, and I think that one's like 15.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I was looking at it, like, all right, so Dead Space is 12 chapters, and I think it's like a 12. I think it took me 13 hours to beat
Dead Space Remake. Anywhere between 12 and 15, depending upon how much you're exploring.
Dead Space 2 is 15 chapters, but it looks like the average time of it is actually shorter than the first one. It's like 9-hour completion on it, which I thought was interesting. I'm burning through this game, but I think I'll finish it. I kind of want to do see part 3, which I never played, which everyone says was the weakest one.
I'll be interested to see if you do get the 3, what you think of it, because, yeah, I think it's weak. I don't think it's bad. Like, people are like, Dead Space 3 is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think it's bad, but it loses some of what 1 and 2 did so well.
What's the peak for you, 1 or 2?
I think 2 is my favorite out of them.
Yeah. It's hard to say, but I could see that.
It's more like I always kind of compare Dead Space and Dead Space 2 to like Alien and Aliens.
Yeah.
There's way more combat in 2. There's a lot of combat in 1 as well, but it's more of a straight, like,
it kind of starts off like the end of 1 where it's just there's a lot of combat scenarios.
Yeah. Two is like a lot of combat, where 1 is like there are combat areas, but it is not like a constant thing going on. One of the things I did notice, so I am way behind you. I think I'm on chapter 5, so not even halfway done this new one. But there is a sequence where there's like an ADS cannon. You have to get rid of these asteroids. And in the first one, you actually control the cannon, and it is...
It's like a shooting sequence.
Yeah, it's like you're in the turret, you're shooting. It is awful. And they change that in this one. Like, I don't know if it's better, but
I thought it was cooler. Like,
it's interesting. Like, yeah, like targeting the asteroids from outside.
You'd like go up to each cannon and kind of like link yourself to it, and then you aim with your gun, and you're aiming the cannon. I thought it was neat because you're out flying around in space.
Yeah.
I knew that was different too, only because I think IGN showed that in their review. Like, okay. But that's a good example of like things are changed throughout the whole game. Like, it's not just a new coat of paint, so to speak, or whatever. Like, they did do like changes.
Well, they've connected things too, right? Like, before it was very much like, you're going to hop on the tram, and like that, every time you hop on the tram, it was like going to the next stage, and there was no reason to go backwards. Now they kind of like have you going back, and you're visiting some of the same areas. It's all a little bit more interconnected than it was. It's,
you know, awesome. Yeah, I love that Metroid really style. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've added like side quests and stuff too. Which are weird, but
I missed all that, I guess. And it did say when I got to the end of the game, it's like, you failed this quest. And I was like, I didn't know I had a quest, but cool. I guess there's side quests.
Yeah, there's some, and it's just like extra added story stuff. Like, I mean, there might be like a prize at the end, I don't know, but it is very much a, like, here's some added story context for these different areas.
Do you like the story of Dead Space?
It's all right. It's fine. It's goofy. Fucking
nonsense, dude. Like, you know me, I don't pay attention, but at the end of the game, I was like, what was all that? And so I looked up, like, I read what the story was.
Scientology.
And I was like, oh my god, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, it's like space Scientology. It's all absolute nonsense. It's fine. But it's like, you know, it's, you're traversing this cool spaceship. Like, that's what's the fun of it. Like, it's a haunted spaceship.
Absolutely. It's fucking awesome. And two, I think, has more cool, interesting set pieces where you're doing puzzles and going out into space more, moving around like satellite dishes or whatever the fuck. Yeah, two is really good. I was so happy like I went through with that and I was like, yeah, let's start up part two.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're liking that one. Earl, you play anything this week?
Well, like I mentioned the CS Stars demo already. I played more of Hi-Fi Rush, still enjoying that. Friends and I started Deep Space Galactic. I think that's what it's called. Deep Rock Galactic, one of those things.
Deep Rock Galactic, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that is a co-op experience. I don't know how to describe the game because it's not necessarily a first person shooter. You do shoot stuff in first person, but a lot of it is kind of going on like missions and gathering resources or like refitting a drill or like surviving meteor rocks. So a lot of it is like just like navigating these narrow caverns together and gathering up resources and any weird objectives. It's a very different game than we've played recently. I think it's fun. I don't necessarily know if I'm loving it right now, but it's a different experience. Just to kind of see like how the different casts work together. It's a cast based game, so there's like a gunner, a scout, a engineer, and a heavy. And you have to like the heavy has like a flamethrower, which is really good for bug control. And then like the scout has like a grapple hook, which makes it easier for them to navigate spaces. And an engineer can like create platforms and stuff like that. So like, you know, having all those abilities and using it to work together to navigate spaces to find skulls or gold or lava or this, that, and the third. And then once you kind of complete your objectives down in the mine, you call it a spaceship, and it's kind of like Metroid, where you then have like 5 minutes to get back to your spaceship before it abandons you, which is plenty of time, but usually that means there's also a mad dash of enemies trying to kill you, which maybe is not as great. But yeah, I mean, so far, it's like I said, I think it's fun, it's fine. I just really don't know the same power of it for me. So, also on Game Pass, which is why we checked it out.
$3.99,
my favorite price.
Always a good choice. Tony, you play anything this week?
I guess the only two things I really played. I played more Age of Empires 2, which I am quite enjoying. I don't know that I'm going to obsessively play it like I did.
Jeff played some of that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I played through the tutorial.
Did you make it through the tutorial? Did you?
Yeah. And then it was like, hey, you should play the, I forgot.
$60 game you just bought?
No. Like, it says you should play this campaign if you are a beginner. I can't remember the guy's name. William Wallace.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I think I started that because that's what they said to do if you're a beginner. And then I said, okay, I'll get back to this at some point. I just, it's a little overwhelming at first and... I have a feeling though, like once you get used to the controls and have an idea what you're doing, it'll be pretty fun. But when will I ever get to this? I don't know.
It's a commitment. I've been playing through the Mongol campaign. I really enjoy being a Mongol and burning everything to the ground. I had forgotten like how highly scripted a lot of the nearly all of the campaign missions are. Like they're really trying to tell a story, which is fun, but also like when you're like trying to also play the game at the same time, it kind of like you don't know what to expect.
There's like a specific way of playing each scenario.
Yes.
So they're like constantly telling you what to do, like in the tutorial, like, hey, you need to build a barracks or just,
okay,
like,
so it's so. All right, so one of the third Mongol campaign mission is like crossing the Great Wall of China, so invading China. It doesn't give you the resources to get to the wall, but then again, it does get through the wall. Like, it just gives you a bunch of guys who are outside of the wall. And no villagers, no town center, and you just need to figure out what to do. So there's a lot of just, like, walking around and walking around and walking around until you run into the right scripted thing to happen. So there's this thing, like, you find this thing, and it says something about engineers to the northwest. And so you go through, and you find this town that hates you and fights your guys. But the first time I going through, I, like, fought my way through the town and took over the town but lost most of my army. And then I got to the other side, and I finally met the engineers who, if you got close enough, would just join your faction. But I'd lost most of my troops. I ended up having to, like, restart the campaign mission over and just, like, walk around the town that I had fought my way through the first time so that I could have this scripting happen without me having to, like, lose all my guys. Most of the missions aren't like that, but I, like, this is, like, a campaign mission from, like, the original game. And it was, I have a vague recollection, like, very, very vague. It's been, like, you know, 20 years of having this same problem the last time. So it's kind of weird to remember something like that. But also, I kind of just want to, like, get into the game. Like, I hate having to go through the whole rigmarole of, like, having to randomly walk around the map until I can actually start to play the mission. But it's fine.
So Age of Empires, anything else?
I just finished a couple hours ago Marvel's Midnight Suns.
Nice.
Finally got through that that end game content. I think it took me about 55 or so hours to get through the whole thing. So a lot of content there, a lot of fun. Really enjoyed the whole ride. It tells a really interesting story that kind of comes all the way back around at the end to a sort of heartwarming/heartbreaking finale.
Was it Mephisto? So,
Mephisto is in the game. But,
oh, okay, so it's not WandaVision. We got cock tease for Mephisto.
No, there's no cock teasing going on here.
I'm out then.
I mean, you were probably out before.
Oh no, I just I don't know why I remembered that. Everybody was like, "Oh, it's gonna be Mephisto." No mention in the show whatsoever, but it's gonna be Mephisto.
I mean, Ileana's in magic is in the game, and you do go to Limbo and you do deal with Mephisto, but you know, he is not the final villain. The game is pretty upfront the entire time about who the final villain is. So,
is it you?
No, it's Kathan. Kathan is the final villain.
Did you get the DLC for that, or?
I have not yet. The only one I'm seeing achievements for right now is Deadpool. I may play through it. I don't know. Having put so much time into the game, I kind of want to, like, play other things now. So
yeah, no, I get it. So I was debating because it's on sale this week, and
yep,
you can get, like, the $100 version for $60, which is what the game was initially. It's like, do I want that version? Like, do I want all the DLC?
Like, do you need all the heroes? I don't know that you do. Like, having put almost, you know, put so much time into the game, like, so much of it is about, like, having relationships with your heroes and, like, making friendships and like, upping that stuff.
Right.
And the more heroes you have, the more you have to do that with. And having none of the DLC characters, I still didn't max out my relationships with everyone. I was close. I think I did everybody except two characters that I won't name, because if you play through the game, it's kind of a spoiler. But you meet characters as the game goes along, and there are a couple that you meet almost towards the end, which makes it impossible to kind of maximize their story. Although when the game ends, you can keep going. It kind of like it takes you to the time before the last mission and lets you like keep playing. There are like side quest missions and like randomly generated missions. There's also New Game Plus, so you can play through again.
All right.
So definitely fun. Definitely worth the time.
All right. We played a little Battlefield 2042.
We did do that.
That is a feels like Battlefield now.
Is that good or bad?
Well, it was weird before because you had those operators. You'd like pick an operator, and it would like determine so much about like the stuff that you carried, and like, and that now that's gone. Now or not gone, but
yeah, they're still there, but it's like you play assault. You know, you play the class that you want to play,
yeah.
And then they're basically just a skin, but there's also like one piece of equipment or maybe two that they each come with. Like the one I was playing with, she has like the wingsuit and like these smart grenades, but everything else is just built up by your assault, you know, setting.
And there are so many more, because I hadn't played this game since last June or July, and they've added so many like weapons and like random content to the game. There's a ton left to unlock. Like I was almost to level 50, and like now I'm looking at the weapons list, and I'm like, I have like half of the weapons still to go.
Which. Yeah, it's not like Call of Duty where it's like, you know, you're leveling up all the time and you know, you're getting a weapon unlock every other level. Like leveling up takes a little bit here.
I think I went up one level when we were playing.
Yeah, and I went up a few, but I was like I had only played to like level 5 or 6 or something like that, so I don't know. It seems fine. Like we had a good time, but it's one of those things where you're playing with 64 other people on your team. And if they're bad, it doesn't matter what you're doing.
Yeah. You're being massacred. It felt good though. Even the matches we lost, I didn't feel like I was dying unfairly repeatedly over and over again.
No, it was just like, why is our, like we're holding this section down. And like, all right, we're going to move over here. We're going to hold that section. We're going to like grab that section. But our team isn't holding any of the other points. Like, it's like they're just playing team deathmatch. What are you doing? Like, we're in an objective based game.
Oh, I used to hate that in Halo 2. Hey, I'm going to get my kill death ratio up. Thank you. But this is not the time of using the game. I got 100 kills and didn't capture the point once. Yeah.
Right, and like, and in Battlefield, it's very much like, if you're playing Conquest, that is the game. Like, go capture these points, because that's how you win.
Yeah, they don't care. They rack it up there. Oh, man, I remember, what is it, Halo 3, there was that one stage, I'm terrible with the names, where it's like multi-level, and like sometimes capture the flag, it would be on the ground floor, so people would just stand on the top level and shoot down at the people capturing the point. But I'm like, you're not winning the game up there because you can't capture the point.
Right.
So what are you doing here other than being a nuisance? And sometimes it can work. You can have somebody who be a nuisance if you are with your other team being like, yes, go capture the point. I will harass these people for you. That's fine. If you're just doing it for shits and giggles, you're not helping anybody.
Yeah, and it's I don't know if it was just, you know, the teams we were on last night. We did win one match, but like the ones we were losing, especially early on, it was like these people aren't playing the objectives. Not really sure what they're doing. But
dying. They're dying.
They're not helping us. After, you know, we played on Tuesday, I then kind of like, oh, let me check the achievements out. And there's these like weird individual ones tied to the specialists. It's like, all right, well, let me check some guides. Evidently, you could just like set up private servers and just
try for the stuff. Like, so there's one, it's like the lady I was using, she has a wingsuit, and it's on the map with the rocket that shoots off, and like on the other side there's like the control center.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an achievement for getting to the top of the control center and then wingsuiting across to the rocket. Like, how would you do that in a regular game? Like, if you're just like randomly wingsuiting out, like you're gonna get shot down. You could just set up a basically play it by yourself with nobody on the map. Or you can add bots, like, which I think is interesting, because you can set the difficulty of the bot, so you can either play where they're completely stupid, or you can make them hard, and it kind of becomes like Titanfall, but with nobody else on the map with you. Your team is filled with AI, so is the other team. There's like so many different options that you can change, and it just counts as you playing the game. Like, they don't distinguish you playing on your private match with, you know, other people or with bots as anything different than like what we did when we were playing public matches. Like, everything counts. It's really weird. But I was able to unlock like some of those stupid achievements. So, and it's neat that you can just set up these private servers and be like, here we go, we're going to play. And that's on Game Pass now too. Also on Game Pass, Madden, which Tony has, you know, consistently said is awful. And you're not wrong. I think it's more stable than maybe when you were playing.
I don't like to think so, that they've worked on it a little bit.
But there's some like weird bugs still. Like, you know, they'll show, actually not even like, it's not just like on the sidelines, like some of those like weird scrolling shots where it's like, we're going to show the sideline and like give you the TV presentation. Sometimes it's just like on the field. And this is carried over for multiple years now, but like the towels that some players have attached to them, they just go batshit. They're like wigging out for no apparent reason. The towels are flapping all over the place. I've seen people just like legs just disappear, and now you have like half a body on the field. Like, it's really weird, the bugs that this game has. But you can play football.
Wait, yeah.
So
I'm thinking about, I mean, just a matter of space and downloads and shit for me.
Yeah, it's not a huge download. It's, I don't know exactly what size it is. It's not huge, but like, you know, if you want to play the new football game, it's there. I thought Face of the Franchise, but they changed that a little bit this year. It's weird. You don't start out as a rookie. You start out as a fifth-year player.
Yep.
Which I guess gets rid of all that dumb rookie bullshit, and they're just like, you can be the starter now, and that makes sense, right? Like, you're a fifth-year player. You should be the starter, as opposed to, I'm this rookie, and I'm 62 overall, but I'm going to supplant the quarterback for this team who is a 90. That shit never made sense. So now it's like, we signed you, you're the quarterback, and that's how this is. Or the wide receiver, if it's a wide receiver, running back, quarterback, linebacker, and maybe defensive end. Like, they're the five kind of positions you can play Face of the Franchise with. I don't know. It's fine. It's not. It's fine. Like, it's free. So if you want to play some football, go play it. Like, the achievements are actually not terrible this year. So before it was like, oh, you have to earn, like the last few years, it's been get X amount of legacy points. So it's like, to get most of the achievements, you had to play forever, because like, you have to surpass Walter Payton. He has 22,000 legacy points. It's like, and you know how long that takes? But now it's like, it's pretty simple stuff achievement wise. So I will play it for that and move on. And, you know, we're right around the Super Bowl. It's like, now is when we want to be playing it. Outside of Tony, who gets it when it launches. And
that's right.
And it's broken.
Never again. Never again.
Yeah. That's it, I think. Is there any anything new next week? We just talked about like 7,000 things coming out, but not sure any of them are next week.
I think there's a few stuff week. I think that the Rhythm Final Fantasy game is out. And I want to say that that Priyank game is out next week.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know anything else offhand. I'm sure there's stuff coming out that we're just not, but nothing major. I don't think there's a big, big game. I mean, I guess 2 weeks from now when we have, what was I going to say? Oh, when we have like Metroid again and Kirby and whatever have you. Who knows? I mean, it's Sony's time to drop a random big game announcement.
Yeah, they haven't had a showcase, have they?
No, not this year.
So they could drop us something. It'll be nice. Keep doing those shadow drops or whatever. Keep doing them all year long. Give us exciting things on that day. All right. Well, we will have something next week.
We promise.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
And yes, we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.